Well, it's good to see the room so full. It's kind of sad when 30 degrees seems like a heat wave, but we're definitely in a heat wave now, and thankful for that. I'm thankful to see all of you tonight. Well, I'm sure at some point in your life you've searched for a job. If you're as old as me, your first job might have been a newspaper ad. More recently, the jobs are listed online, and some businesses still post signs in the window. And can you imagine responding to one of these ads? Waitress wanted, must be 18 with 20 years experience. Apply within. Or this one, I'm looking for someone between the ages of 20 and 30 for a few evenings a week. You must love cake. I have a cake business, and sometimes I have leftover cake from tasting sessions that I hate to throw away. If you love cake and desserts, you will get paid to eat as much cake as possible. This is a genuine part-time position that could lead to full-time. Please respond to me at... Well, I do like cake. And I have a friend here that would attest to that, but I don't like it that much. Anyhow, but consider this unique and exclusive position. Priest wanted, a man from the tribe of Levi, a descendant of Aaron, married to a woman from the tribe of Levi. This role is not for the faint-hearted. It requires a person of high moral standards with no physical defects and one who does not profane the name of God. This job is comprehensive and multifaceted, offering burnt, grain, fellowship, sin, and guilt offerings. Maintaining the sanctuary, teaching the law, and mediating between the people and God. The garments, ephod, breastplate, robe, tunic, turban, belt, crown, and pants will be provided. This is a lifelong position. Tonight we'll explore the profound significance of Jesus as the better priest as we delve into help needed, help established, help fulfilled, and help given. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I just ask that your words are the only words that are spoken tonight, the only words that are heard. And I thank you for the opportunity to talk about you as our better priest. We pray all this in your name. Amen. Well, a mediator was urgently necessary because sin had separated us from God, and we desperately needed someone to bridge that gap. Priests in the Old Testament are frequently associated with the Aaronical or the Levitical priesthood, but several precursors to that priesthood existed. And once again, we go back to the garden, where the image bearers dwell, and they had perfect communion with God. Adam and Eve extended God's rule, and mediated his presence to the rest of creation, acting as priest. But their disobedience to God's commandment to not eat from one tree broke that communion. Aware that they sinned and were naked, they hid from God in shame. God performed the very first sacrifice as a result of this sin. The skins covered their sin and shame, but it did not solve the problem. But God did promise in Genesis 3:15 that there would be a solution, and the waiting began. One writer suggests that the patriarchs performed priestly duties when they built altars or offered sacrifices. We see this in the sacrifices of Abel in Genesis 4, Noah in Genesis 6, Abraham in Genesis 12 and 22, Jacob in Genesis 28, and Job in Job 1. And two early figures were called priests. Melchizedek was introduced as a priest of the Most High God when he met Abraham, and Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, appeared as a priest of Midian. Well, time went on, and God rescued the Israelites from Egypt and brought them to the foot of Mount Sinai. And it was here that God said these words from Exodus 19, 4 through 6. You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, You shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. In these verses, God reminds Israel of his great power and care for them, and he reveals his plans for them. But all this requires obedience. A kingdom of priests where every believer would come before God themselves and a holy nation set apart. The people responded to this in verse 8 of that same chapter, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." Then Moses went up the mountain, and there the Lord gave him the detailed construction of the temple. And in chapters 28 and 29 of Exodus, the preparation and consecration of the priest is described. God knew that they were not going to obey and that they would need help, so he established help. God would establish a mediation system that would direct the people to their desperate need for a better mediator to bring a permanent solution to their separation from God. The priest's job was not just daily, it was endless. And once a year, the high priest had an even higher responsibility. Once a year, on the Day of Atonement, also known as Yom Kippur, he performed a very different sacrifice, a sacrifice that had to be repeated year after year. The weight of this endless task was heavy, and it was a constant reminder of our sinfulness and the need for a permanent solution. Well, turn with me to Leviticus 16, and we're going to read this, one of the most beautiful passages, I believe, in the scripture, because it points so much to Jesus. And we're going to begin reading at verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they drew near before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron, your brother, not to come at any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat that is on the ark, so that he may not die. For I will appear in the cloud over the mercy seat. But in this way, Aaron shall come into the holy place with a bull from the herd for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering." We'll continue at verse 6. "Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering for himself and shall make atonement for himself and his house. Then he shall take the two goats and set them before the Lord, and he shall take the two goats and set them at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And Aaron shall cast lots over the two goats, one for the Lord and the other lot for Azazel. And Aaron shall cast lots over the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for Azazel. And Aaron shall present the goat on which the lot fell for the Lord and use it as the sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell for Azazel shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement over it, that it may be sent away into the wilderness of Azazel. Aaron shall present the bull as a sin offering for himself and shall make atonement for himself and for his house. He shall kill the bull as a sin offering for himself, and he shall take a censer full of coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, and two handfuls of sweet incense beaten small. And he shall bring it inside the veil and put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is over the testimony, so that he does not die. And he shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the front of the mercy seat, on the east side, in the front of the mercy seat. He shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger 7 times. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people and bring its blood inside the veil and do with its blood as he did with the blood of the bull, sprinkling it over the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat. Thus he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the people of Israel and because of their transgressions, all their sins. And so he shall do for the tent of meeting, which dwells with them amid their uncleanness. No one may be in the tent of meeting from the time he enters to make atonement in the holy place until he comes out and has made atonement for himself and for his house and for all the assembly of Israel. He shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it, and shall take some of the blood of the bull and some of the blood of the goat and put it on the horns of the altar all around. And he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger 7 times and cleanse it and consecrate it from the uncleanness of the people of Israel. And when he has made an end of atoning for the holy place and the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall present the live goat, and Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the people of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins. And he shall put them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who is in readiness. The goat shall bear all their iniquities on itself to a remote area, and he shall let the goat go free in the wilderness. Well, God is certainly a God of details, and let's unpack this passage. It begins with the reminder of the death of Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu. Leviticus 10 tells us that these two offered strange fire to the Lord. Strange because it did not adhere to the Lord's specifications and his commandments. As a result, fire came out from the Lord and consumed them. If the Lord is to live among his people, there must be a means to deal with this continuing sin problem. And that means is found in this Day of Atonement. Well, this was the most solemn day of the Old Testament rituals. It was so significant that according to tradition, the Jewish people often just called it the day. This was a day when only the priest could enter the most holy place, the inner room of the tabernacle, which contained the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. But before he could enter the holy place, the priest first had to deal with his own sins and the sin of his family with the bull for the sin offering. And then smoke had to be sent in to cover the mercy seat where God dwelled so that he would be unable to look at it because man could not look at God and live. The priest made this sacrifice alone with 2 goats, one chosen by God to be sacrificed and the other to be the scapegoat, sending it into the wilderness. The flesh of the purification sacrifice was destroyed by fire outside the camp, but the scapegoat was expelled into the wilderness. But before the scapegoat was sent out, the high priest confessed all the iniquities and all the transgressions of all of Israel over this goat. The goat would then carry all of Israel's sins into the wilderness. And this had to be done year after year after year. Well, the priesthood continued throughout the Old Testament, but not without many problems. The deterioration of Israel during the time of the judges is reflected in the faithlessness of the priests. And this same deterioration is evident when we consider Eli and his 2 sons in the book of Samuel. But the prophets continue to speak of the corruption and defilement of the priesthood. But with this condemnation always came hope. The hope of one who would be the perfect priest. This continual need for atonement was never sufficient. This was only a shadow of what was to come. Jesus is a substance, the one in whom our help is fulfilled. Jesus completely fulfills the need for a sinless priest. As we saw, the priest had to be washed, clothed, and anointed before they could offer sacrifice. And they had to sacrifice for their own sins before they could sacrifice for the people. Jesus did not need to be washed. He was sinless. And he was clothed in righteousness. And his anointing comes from God the Father when God announces him at the time of his baptism and again at the time of the transfiguration and declared, "This is my son. Listen to him." Well, the priest was alone when he performed this sacrifice, and the scapegoat walked alone in the wilderness. And Jesus did his sacrifice alone Charles Spurgeon said, "There was no one with our Lord. He trod the winepress alone. He, his own self, bare sins in his own body on that tree. He alone went in where the thick darkness covered the throne of God, and no one stood by to comfort him." Jesus, our scapegoat, was innocent, and yet God chose him to be the spotless lamb and pay the penalty for our sins. As he carried his cross out of the city to Golgotha, he carried with him all of our sins. Jesus did not need to continually enter the most holy place. His words on the cross, "It is finished," completed the once for all sacrifice. At that very moment, the curtain in the temple that separated man from the most holy place for many, many years was torn and is symbolic of our access to God. No longer is a mediator necessary to speak to God. Jesus opened the way. And after the resurrection and ascension, Jesus went to heaven, where he sits at the Father's side, exalted as high priest, forever his sacrifice complete. We can and should rejoice in this sacrifice when we realize all the help that we have been given. Jesus' perfect priesthood restores our broken relationship with God and gives us confidence in our redemption. Hebrews chapters 4 through 10 is rich with all the ways in which Jesus, our high priest, has become the better priest. He's in a better position as both fully God and fully human. He is able to understand everything we are going through and sympathize with us. He was tempted, but he did not give in. He is better qualified. He did not have to offer sacrifices for his own sin because he is sinless. He comes from a better order, an order not based on genealogy or a legal requirement, but he was uniquely called and appointed by God. Psalm 110:4 says, "You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Well, we learned about this mysterious Melchizedek last semester, if you were with us, a priest of the Most High God who appeared to Abraham, one without known lineage, one who had no beginning or end. This points to Jesus' eternal life, permanent priesthood, and continual intercession. And because of Jesus, there is a better sanctuary. Unlike the Levitical high priest who had to repeatedly enter the earthly sanctuary, Jesus entered the heavenly, most holy place once and for all by means of his own blood. And having completed this work of purification, he sits exalted at God's right hand. He is a great high priest over God's house forever. And this gives us better assurance and better access. Hebrews 10:19-25 tells us, "Therefore, brothers, since we have the confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of our faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So what are we to do with this? Well, first, ladies, I hope you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, admitted you are a sinner and in need of help. And do you believe that the only sacrifice that closed the gap and separates you from a relationship with God is the sacrifice that Jesus did on the cross? Have you been washed in his blood? If not, tonight can be your night. But Jesus is our mediator. A mediator is one who joins two parties together, stands in the gap, and bridges the conflict. The two parties were us as sinful humans and our holy God. The gap was because our sin separates us from our holy God. And the bridge was Jesus' death on the cross to take our sins upon himself. He was the only one who could stand in the gap. He was the only one who could mediate between us and God because we were separated from him. Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. He willingly gave up his life as a sacrifice once and for all. Jesus is our perfect priest who has invited believers to join him in his kingdom work as priest. 1 Peter 2:4-5 says, "As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." The priesthood could not be earned or bought. So it is with our salvation, found only in faith alone, through grace alone, in Christ alone. The priest wore special garments. Jesus clothes us in his righteousness. The priest presented sacrifices. We're called to present ourselves as living sacrifices to God. The priest represented God to the people. We represent God by our lives. Matthew Henry said, "All the faithful servants of Christ are a royal priesthood, separated from sin and sinners, consecrated to God, and offering to God spiritual services acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Jesus intercedes for us. He prays for us to the Father. And Jesus gives us direct access to God and serves as our mediator. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and help in time of need." The King James Version actually says, "Let us come boldly." We are to approach God without hesitancy and to go directly to God with all our prayers. In Jesus, we see the story of the Bible come together. We see the perfect mediation between God and his people. We see the restoration of the priestly vocation always intended for humanity from the beginning. And we see the ultimate fulfillment where God will dwell with his people forever because of our better priest and our better sacrifice. Revelation 21:3 says, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God." Please pray with me. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul was counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. Thank you, God, for providing our perfect sacrifice and our perfect priest in your Son, Jesus. We pray all this in your name. Amen.